This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم ما بعد اليوم الخامس من شهر صفر 1445 الموافق ل 22 من شهر أغسطس 2023 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك رياض الصالحين أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. So today, inshallah, we continue from where we stopped last week. Last week, we began with a new chapter, which is about istihbabu tibi al-kalami wa talaqati al-wajhi inda al-liqa. The emphasis of the Sharia on saying good. Whenever you speak to your brothers and sisters, you say something that is good. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir falyaqul khayran aw liyasmut." If you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the hereafter, you should say good or you should be silent. And talaqatul wajh inda al-liqa. Whenever you meet your brothers, you should meet them with wajhin taliq, meaning a face that shows welcoming. Somebody is not rejected, somebody is welcomed, you'll be happy to see him. Not in the way we had discussed last week. That subhanAllah, some of us believe that it is part of righteousness for you to be angry or to show that moody face when you meet your brothers and sisters. It is not the attitude and the behavior of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to do that. When you meet your brothers, say salam to them. That's the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also smile, if possible. Smile, if possible. And let's show good face, show a welcoming face, you know, to that person whom you are meeting. This is the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَخْفِضْ جَنَاحَكَ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. It means you should be very humble. Tawada' lil-mu'mineen. When you are with the believers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be lenient and gentle and humble. And subhanallah, this is the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's very soft and gentle and approachable. Yeah. Even the children, as I always mention, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say salam to the kids, say salam to the younger ones, say salam to the big people. His title, which is the biggest title that ever existed, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَتَهَجَّدْ بِهِ نَافِلَةً لَكَ عَسَىٰ أَنْ يَبْعَثَكَ رَبُّكَ مَقَامًا مَحْمُودًا. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best, أفضل الخلق. Nobody is like him. But subhanallah, he has time to say salam to people, to shake their hands, you know, and to smile to them when he meets them, to stop for the kids and make jokes. Very humble. You know, they said that a slave, you know, will come and hold the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to wherever she wants to drag him. There was a woman, they said she has some issues with her. Aqal, she used to come and hold the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he follows her. That's Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if we want to succeed, we really need to be like him. We really need to apply the same behavior and the manhaj applied by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Any manhaj which is not sourced from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this manhaj is batil. It has to be connected to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if you want to succeed, you must attach yourself to the method used by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to attain the success. We're inviting people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no matter how much you love good for people, you will never be like Rasulullah. لو كان الذي نفعله خيرا سبقنا إليه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. If our method in da'wah is the best, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم will be the first to adopt that method. Yeah. So we have to be kind to those al-mad'uween that we are inviting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala advised Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to always be humble and lenient and gentle and soft when he is with the believers. And this is a message to who? To us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is already like that. There's a message to us who will come after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that if we want to change the society to that which is better, we have to adopt his manhaj in da'wah. أفضل المناهج على الإطلاق is manhaj of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Go and see the way he invites people, the way he advises. You know, subhanAllah. The boy came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "He is only an azni." Imagine in our time if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is with us and then somebody comes and says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Please give me permission to commit zina." Try to anticipate and to imagine the consequence. What do you think the followers will do to that person? But subhanAllah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was there. You know, when the man says, "Ya Rasulullah, give me permission." He is coming to the Prophet to ask his permission to commit zina. People are going to get him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ya Allah, Rasulikum, leave him." He is asking who? He asked me. A very simple question. He addressed his heart. And that's it. You know, how many people among the younger ones are having problems like this? Ewallah, serious problems like this. Very crucial and serious problem. Problems that are related to these things that this man came to ask, which either they did or they're on the way to do, or they are in a bad relationship, but they have nobody to approach because they are scared of the du'at. If he comes and asks you, he doesn't know what kind of response you're going to give. Maybe you will call his father, maybe. So you just keep it for himself. Until time they become so depressed. And then we start looking for a psychologist. And if you are not lucky, you know, you send him to somebody who is a wrong psychologist. Yeah, there are some people who after the consultation, they became more mad than before. Their situation before they meet those people is a bit better. So the du'at, this is mas'uliyya, ala du'at wa tullab al-ilm. This is our responsibility, all of us, to adopt the manhaj of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, open the door for the people to come. Because if you have that door being open, trust me, my dear brothers and sisters, the more you open the door, the more community comes to you and share with you what they're suffering from, looking for solutions. If you don't give them the solutions, do you think they will find the solution? Yes, they will look for their own solutions through the platform, which you will not be appreciating that. Yeah, because everything is available there on online. They just go and ask somebody, or they ask physically a wrongdoer. Somebody who, instead of guiding them to the right path, he let them go deeper and deeper. Somebody was telling me this long ago, that if you guys are not open to the people to come and share their mashakil with you so that you can look for a solution for them, they will go and look for others who give them wrong advices. So look at this person came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, "Ya Rasulullah, give me permission to commit zina. And I love this manhaj and I really, really advise you to go with this manhaj of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." If a person shares his mashakil with you, please, please, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no blame. Don't blame him. Just provide him with a solution. He will feel that, yes, you understand his feelings. You know that, yes, there is a feeling inside him which deserves to be attained to and to be addressed. That's Rasulullah. This man, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, did not tell him, what happened to your aql? Did not tell the companions, why didn't you get him down before he finished his questions? He come to me and ask me this question? No, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, would you like this to happen to your mother? No. He said, how about your sister? No. Yeah, because nakhwa is there. You know, a person might be evil, you know, committing sins outside, but he never want this to come to his family. Yeah, I listened to the statements of, you know, top rappers and musicians, you know. One of them was asked, would you like your children to even watch or listen to what you're doing? He said, no. He says, I control. They watch only what I give them, but not this. SubhanAllah. He's corrupting other people, family, but his children. He said, no. One of them was saying, you know, he said, I don't understand why somebody would tell me that he cannot control what his family and his children are watching. You know, SubhanAllah. These are the things that we hear from them. So a person might be, you know, wrongdoer, but he doesn't want evil to come to his family. When he comes and asks you and share with you these type of issues, address his heart. Talk to his heart directly. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, would you be happy if this is to happen to your mother, your sister, your this and that? He said, no. He said, but, you know, SubhanAllah, very lenient and gentle to him. He said, but the one that you are going to do this with him, with her, she's also either the mother or the sister or this. Those people that you don't want, you know, the same thing to happen in your family, she's also one of those ones to somebody. SubhanAllah, that was enough for him. And he changed completely. He changed completely. A person came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, وَقَعَتْ عَلَى مَرَأَتِي فِي نَهَارِ رَمَضَانُ وَأَنَا صَائِمٌ. He said, I had sexual relationship with my wife in the day of Ramadan. And that man asked his people, and the people told him, you're going to be in trouble. You have to go to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and report yourself. He went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Did he blame him? I have never come across a narration where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam blamed him, telling him, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with your aql? This is Ramadan. You know, you cannot violate this. All of these statements that I'm saying are true. That a person should think wisely. This is Ramadan, one of the pillars in Islam. But the issue is the person coming to you regretting. What else you want? He already regretted. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the man told him what he did, he did not tell them, why did you do that? Why? And the man was shouting, you know, raising up his voice, saying, Ya Rasulullah, halaktu wa halakt, halaktu wa halakt. He came, you know, dragging his garment. You know, he was in a rush. He came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, I destroy myself and I destroy somebody. I put myself into trouble and I put somebody into trouble. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, what did you do? Say, Ya Rasulullah, I'm in trouble and I put somebody also in trouble. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what happened? He says, I had relationship with my wife in the day of Ramadan. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, hal tastati'u an tu'tiqa raqaba? Straightforward to the solution. He said, are you able to free a slave? Qala la. He said, no. What next if it is one of us? Ya akhi taqillah. At least go and borrow money and buy one of the slaves and free them. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not tell him ittaqillah or this and that. Are you looking for solution or not? I give you the solution and you don't take it. He did not say this. He says, can you free a slave? He said, no. He said, can you fast for 60 days? Of course, obviously, the answer is no. One of them, they say, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I told him this, he said, Rasulullah, even 30 days, I couldn't. Now you're telling me 60 days continuously? He said, no. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with no blame, he gave him the last and the final solution. He said, can you feed 60 needy people? He said, no. No solution was given to this person, and at the same time, he accepted it. Why? Because he can't. He was very honest to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He can't. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept quiet, and the man also kept quiet. I have already presented my case and no solution, then khalas. If Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say anything, that means most likely I'm okay. Somebody brought to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a sag of tamr. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, where's that person who was in trouble? The man said, ha ana da ya Rasulullah. He says, take this tamr, the date, and go and give it to somebody as charity. You know, since the Prophet ﷺ asked him to feed 60 needy people, and he said, I don't have. So now the money comes, the food comes. All that he has to do is to take it from Rasulullah and go and feed somebody. Rasulullah ﷺ told him, take it and go and give it to somebody. Subhanallah. He said, ya Rasulullah, a'ala afqara minni? He said, ya Rasulullah, do you mean I go and give this to somebody who is poorer than me? Rasulullah ﷺ said, yes. He says, ya Rasulullah, I swear by Allah, the one who sent you with the truth. He says, ma bayna labbatayha ahlu baytin afqaru minna. He says, wallahi ya Rasulullah, between between the beginning of Medina and the other end of Medina, is because labbatay al-Madina, these are harra sharqiyya wal gharbiyya. It's a place in Medina, both sides, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill it with dark, small rocks that are a bit sharp, that the horse cannot come into Medina easily towards that angle. That's why the Ahzab, when they came to Medina, they were not able to come inside Medina through these two places. So what was he trying to say? Ya Rasulullah, there is no house in Medina that is in poverty which is stronger than us. What does he want, actually? To eat the food. He came looking for a solution. And when he says, ya Rasulullah, you mean I go and take it to somebody who is poorer than me? He says, wallahi, ya Rasulullah, there is nobody who is poorer than us in this city. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam laughed, hatta badat nawajizuhu. Until the time they can see his teeth, he smiled, he laughed. It was so much to the person, and he told him, just take it and go and eat it, you and your family. Subhanallah. That's Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why there was no failure in the manhaj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the same to be said to all of the messengers and the prophets of Allah. We want to succeed in our da'wah, we just have to follow that method. It's as simple as this. Why do we fail nowadays in the da'wah? Aqsimu billah, because our method is not like theirs. If you do it, you will succeed. We're just arrogant sometimes. We think we're living in a new time, you know? New time which necessitates new method of the da'wah. Don't forget, you're dealing with human beings. Human beings, they carry the same nature, but the time might differ. But take this from me, that human beings are human beings. Imam Malik said, what changed the previous nation is the only change, is the only thing that has the capacity to change the current nation. And up to date, this is what we are witnessing. So be gentle, be lenient, be soft. You know, be somebody who could be approached by the community so that they can share with you their mashakil, looking for solution. If you don't, they will go and get it from somebody else. And tomorrow, you will be among those who are criticizing the community. This community is this and that. People are doing this and that. But the question is, what is your contribution? Did you ever give them chance to come and share their concerns, their worries with you? You don't. But we always have time to talk against everyone. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى فبما رحمة من الله لنت لهم ولو كنت فظا غليظ القلب لانفضوا من حولك. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just because of a strong mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he cast in your heart, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is very merciful to everyone around him, including animals, The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has this intensive amount of mercy given to him by Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, because of this mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are able to be very lenient in your da'wah. You Allah, full of wisdom, the da'wah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why the Jew, did they like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? No, they hate him. Yeah, but they don't come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and fight him and criticize his attitude and behaviors. They were Jew, living next to him. He visited the one who is sick among them. He's kind to them, all of them. They know this. When they need, they know that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the most appropriate person to be approached. This is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to everyone. They came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and cursed him in a very, very, very tricky way. They say, As-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah, a'udhu billah. As-salam means ruin, poison, death, mushkila, problem. They are asking for calamity to be on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tell them? Wa alaykum as-salam? No. He said, wa alaykum. Aisha heard, they made a mistake, they said it next to Aisha. And then blame her. I do believe if you love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you also, if you are in that place, maybe you will punch them, you know. Liz Aisha stopped at just statement, but you, if you are next to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and somebody came to the Prophet and said this, maybe you will go out of control and get that person. So when Aisha heard that, she said, wa alaykum as-salam wa la'anatullahi wa ghadabu. Said, may the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon you and his wrath. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, mah, ya Aisha, what's wrong with you? She said, ya Rasulullah, didn't you hear what they said? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, didn't you hear what I said? Because he is more expert than her in language. He knows what they are talking about. No matter how much strong you are in the language, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is beyond your capacity and your ability in the language, your expertise. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he knows. He said, Aisha, didn't you hear what I said? They said, As-salamu alayka. And I said, what? Wa alaykum. And you too. That's it. They know. They would just smile and go. But they know the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam understand what exactly they're talking about. So Allah says, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتِلَوْمُ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is very soft and gentle in his speech. And that's why it is part of his attitude. You don't hear the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shouting, raising up his voice, or getting angry when he speaks, unless if the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are violated. And still when he comes, he doesn't say, Muhammad, why did you do this in front of others? No, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his manhaj in reminders, he will come and say, ma balu aqwamin yafaluna kadha. What's wrong with the people? They do this and that. He's hiding the fire to conceal his affairs. How do you feel if somebody is to come and, you know, the khatib, you know, come and tell the stand up, why did you do this and that? And blame you in front of everyone. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, usually, he will try to hide the affair of the person whom he is advising if he's talking to that person in public. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا قَلِيدَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّ مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. If you're so harsh, somebody who cannot be approached, your heart is very harsh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَنْفَضُّ مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. People are going to stay away from you. My dear brothers and sisters, up to date. And I have examples, you know, which this time will not be appropriate to share them because we have very limited time, where leniency and softness in kalam bring people to righteousness. And the da'i has more people coming to him more than those people who are so harsh. And I have other example of people who I know personally who are very, very, very harsh. And nobody is even willing to see them. Ewallah, nobody is even willing to see them. But you see that person who is simple, Everyone is hanging around him because of gentleness and leniency. And they're calling upon the same thing. Yeah, as I always say in this minbar, that there is always a better way to say what you're trying to say. There is always a better way to say what you're trying to say. So please choose your words properly. And be very humble when you're inviting people, because they have this tendency of arrogance. Nobody wants to be lower than another person. When you speak in his presence, if he sees you being arrogant, most likely he would just be waiting for you to finish whatever you are saying and ignore what you said and show you a lack of interest in what you are trying to invite him. Who is losing? The first person who is losing is you. You Allah. Don't you ever think that if this person doesn't listen to you, he is the loser. No, you are the first loser. And then him. And you're contributing to that loss that he is encountering. If you did not speak to him in the way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised you to do. Yeah, because if he accepts the truth and he applies what you are calling him for, every single time he does it, who gets the reward? He gets the reward, and you get also the same thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him. If he couldn't see what you're talking about because of your harshness, who is losing? You're losing a lot. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Ali bin Abi Talib, he says, you should invite them to bear witness that there is none to be worshipped except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you should know, لَأَنْ يَهْدِيَ اللَّهُ بِكَ رَجُلًا وَاحِدًا خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنْ حُمُرٍ النَّعْمِ. He said, you should know, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala get for you one person to be guided, this is better for you than the red camels. These are the best type of camels to the Arabs in those days. It's like to say to a person, this is better for you than the dunya and whatsoever it is. You will like, take this opportunity to have this attitude that today, how can I get one person to accept the truth from me? That's why I always advise you, your da'wah should be based on what? Conveying the message? No. Most likely the person that you're talking to, he already knows what you're saying. But you should choose your word properly. You should always base it on how to convince him. What kind of language, what kind of behavior, what kind of face, what kind of time should I choose? So that inshallah when I invite him, he will get convinced. Because the issue is how to convince him to get him back to that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants him to do. Allah says, وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْ فَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ فَاعْفُ عَنْهُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. The last ayah, Imam al-Nawawi quoted, it finished, right? فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْ فَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. That's the last ayah he quoted. And then he started with the first hadith, which is the hadith of Ali bin Hatim. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اتقوا النار ولو بشق تمرة فمن لم يجد فبكلمة طيبة. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and protect yourself from hell. Even if you are doing that through a charity that is just you're giving half of a tamr. Subhanallah. He says, even to give half of a tamr. Yeah, because if Allah accepted from you, that might be the reason why you go to paradise and Allah will protect you from hell. You remember that person in the hadith of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari? What saved him from hell? In that athar, what saved him from hell? A piece of bread. He committed righteousness for 70 years and zina for 7 days. Zina for 7 days superseded and became heavier than the righteousness of 70 years. Where is he going? Because the mizan of the sayyi'at is heavier now than the mizan of the hasanat. Based on the qaida we know in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينَهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ. Those people who their mizan is lower, the mizan of the sayyi'at is lower than the mizan of the sayyi'at is heavier than the mizan of the hasanat, they will be going to hell. So now with this person, the mizan of his sayyi'at, although this is only 7 nights of zina, you know, against what? 70 years of worship. If it is based on our own calculation, every one of us will say this person succeeded, because you cannot even see those 7 nights against 70 years. But it's not going to be like that, because the one who tells us the quantity and the size of what you are doing is who? Allah Rabbul Alameen. So you can see those 7 nights, they have the power and the capacity, and they are much heavier than what? Heavier than the 70 years. So the man is confirmed, according to the qawaid, to go to hell. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them, last night he gave a charity of a piece of bread. Where is it? It wasn't among the deeds that were placed on the scale. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala valued that bread. It's just a piece of bread. Allah valued it, and he asked them to put it on the scale, on the side of those 70 years. فَرَجُحَتْ تِلْكَ الْكِفْرَ. That side of the righteousness became heavier than the side of the sins. The man was taken to paradise. That's why, don't you ever belittle righteousness. No matter how much small it is, just do it. As long as Allah loves it, just do. With good intention. Wallahi, you don't know. It might be the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take you to paradise. And it will never be in hell forever, because of that little thing which you're not even paying attention to it. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, perhaps there might be a word that a person is saying which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves so much, you're not even paying attention to it, but it will be the reason why you go to paradise. You succeed in this dunya and you will never fail in life. And there might be a word which Allah hates, and you are saying it which you don't pay attention to it because it is so light on your tongue. But Allah hates it. And it might be the reason why somebody will go to hell, or will find his deed being destroyed. You remember that person who told his brother, Wallahi lan yaghfir Allahu lak? You know, Abu Hurairah said, kalimatun awbaqat dunyahu wa akhirata. Because he talks on behalf of Allah, saying to his brother that Allah will never forgive him. Who sent him to make this conclusion? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, liyasta'nif al-amal. Let him start from the scratch, which means all of his righteous deeds are gone. Because of what? One word. That's where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I'lamu. And before then, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيُحَذِّرُكُمْ اللَّهُ نَفْسَهُ. When dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to be very careful. It says, وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ فَحْذَرُوهُ. اعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ فَحْذَرُوهُ. Said, you should know that Allah SWT knows that which is in your heart, and therefore you should be very careful. Watch over your words and your action. So the Prophet ﷺ said, give charity to save yourself from hell, even if it is so little, like half of a tamar. He says, if you cannot find that, because some people, they don't have anything to give in charity. He said, you still have a chance to give charity, because you're not living alone. You live with others. The Prophet ﷺ said, فَإِن لَمْ تَجِدْ فَبِي الْكَلِمَةِ الطَّيِّبَةِ. He said, if you cannot find anything to give physically, say good words to people. Talk in the good way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will count it for you as a charity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq, and be with us wherever we are, and grant us ability to follow the manhaj of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam precisely when giving da'wah, and also in every aspect of our life. إِنَّهُ بِكُلِّ جَمِيلٍ كَفِيلٍ سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
ilaha illallah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa sallim.
Assalamu alaikum warahmatullah. Sheikh, the first question we have is it permissible to make dua as follows, or is it transgression in dua? Ya Allah, if this matter is good for me, decree it for me. If it is not good for me, make it good for me.
Somebody is asking, is it okay to modify the istikhara? You know, the istikhara, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the dua, you should say, Ya Allah, if this is good for me, let me get it. If this is good for me in my dunya and my akhirah and my life, then decree it for me and let me get it. But if it is not good for me in my dunya, until the end of the hadith, then Ya Allah, take it away from me and grant me that which is better. So somebody is asking, can I just say, even if it is good, if it is not good for me, Ya Allah, make it good. And another version that I had, somebody told me that, Wallahu ala kulli shay'in qadir. Why can't I just say, Ya Allah, you have the power to do everything. This person I want to marry, you know, he said, this girl, although she's not good, Ya Allah, make her good and let me. الخير فيما اختاره النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لنا. Good is always in that which the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم advised us to do. So I would advise the questioner to stick to that which Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم asked him to do. Do the istikhara according to the way Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said it. Don't worry about you not getting that thing. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not write it for you, don't worry at all. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَتَى أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا. Sometimes you might love something, you hate something, but it is good for you. وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌّ لَكُمْ. Sometimes you love something, but it is not good for you. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. You should know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows and you don't. So put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just go straight forward. Don't worry. You Allah. Many people married and they cried after the marriage. They never thought it would end in this way. Many, many. And many people engage in business with others, they cried, they regret. So why did they get involved in the first place? Because they don't know the future. You have to contact the one who knows the future, and that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told you how to do it. Just do this istikhara, ask Allah, Ya Allah, if it is not good for me, change it with something that is better. Who doesn't like this, you know? Who doesn't like this? It's just like Jannah. You want the level number one in Jannah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you Firdaus. Which one would you go for? Of course, the choice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is just like this. That which Allah is choosing for you is good for you and better for you in all dimensions. Iwallah. Just put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and get what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed for you. Don't modify the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Don't change it. Keep it the way it is. Yeah. And that's the advice by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When you're looking for something which you don't know what will happen in the future. Matters which are not religious matters. Because religious matters, you don't do istikhara for them. Nasruddin, let's go for Hajj. I will do istikhara first. Is that okay? Do istikhara. He said he will do istikhara first before he goes. Let's go and pray Zuhur in the masjid. Let me do istikhara first. You don't do istikhara in righteousness. You only do istikhara when it comes to the dunya matters. Righteousness, why we don't do istikhara in righteousness? Because we already know that the aqibah is good. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already told us that it's good for you to do it. So you don't go for the istikhara for you to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a good and tawfiq. Next.
Jazakallah khair. Sheikh, the next question is with regards to the hadith that we mentioned towards the end, the advice of the Prophet to Ali radiallahu anh, of if a person is guided through you, the reward is like that of red camels. Is that restricted to only a person accepting Islam, or would it also include things like righteous deeds, or someone becomes practicing because of the person's dawah?
It's everything. somebody who is misguided, and you are the reason why this person is guided. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "La an yahdi Allah," although is a mawqif inviting people to Islam, but the statement is general. Yeah. If you make somebody righteous and he became righteous because of you, it is better for you than the humra now.
Inshallah. Next question. If you are dealing with someone who is a bit harsh, what would be the best way to give advice to such a person?
Remind him with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whoever is very harsh to others, remind him that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is better than all of us, but he is not like that. And you see, he succeeded, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala confirm and inform us about his success. You have no doubt about this. Isn't it better for you to follow that which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do? Remind him about the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the way the righteous predecessors used to give their own da'wah. You know, they left for us the best of examples to be followed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq and be with us wherever we are. I think the Imam is here.
Okay.
The Imam is here.
On next class.
On next class. Are they simple questions?
Kind of. What is the wisdom behind covering the food at night? If one does not do so, should he dispose of the food?
I don't know about this sunnah. Where did they get it? I've never come across it.
The last one is, if the person who enters hell for having more sins than good deeds, will they eventually be taken out after some time?
If somebody is a Muslim, died as a Muslim, but unfortunately he is a sinner, and the sins that took him to hell, at the end of the day, according to the Aqeedah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, no Muslim will remain in hell. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take him out after the punishment to paradise. You get it? But don't choose this path. Don't you ever let yourself to have a transit in hell. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.